Let not your heart be troubled. You are listening to the Sean Hannity Radio Show podcast.
The Thread is a new hit podcast from Aussie Media that explores history's surprising connections in order to discover how one thing leads to another, like how John Lennon's murder connects all the way back to communist leader Vladimir Lenin. Get it on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen.
All right, glad you're with us, and welcome aboard, and write down our toll-free telephone number. It's 800-941-SEAN. If you want to be a part of the program with us today, we got a lot of big news we're going to get to. How does the Democratic Party deal? Remember the song, how do you deal with Maria? What's the name of that song in The Sound of Music? How do you, you know the song I'm talking about? How do you deal with a woman like Maria? You don't remember
how
the
sound of... How do you solve a problem like Maria?
Bingo! How do you solve a problem like Maxine Waters? Because she is the Democratic Party. And she's just saying what they all want to say.
I was calling her Mad Max.
No, Mad Max was in... That was actually a label in the New York Post today. Yeah, you didn't see it? You know, the difference between me and you, do not need to read a hard copy newspaper. I was a paper boy. I want my hard copy, and then I do the internet.
I actually agree with you. I like the hard copies, too. I do agree.
Is there anything better than waking up on a Sunday morning and opening your paper?
I do. I read the hard copy, and I read hard copy books.
Scrambled eggs, and then
not the way you eat eggs.
What's wrong with the way I eat eggs?
Runny eggs.
Oh, that's right. We had this little problem in Singapore. Apparently, the eggs were too wet. She didn't like wet.
It was disgusting.
It was disgusting in Singapore. At the hotel we're staying at, they had this, like, you know, a little buffet.
No, it was everywhere.
Okay. So Linda would say, I want you to burn the eggs.
No,
I want them burned.
I just said I need
I want you to burn them because I don't want any moisture because otherwise it looks runny and disgusting.
First of all, I never use that word. And second of all, I just don't like wet eggs. It's gross.
Okay. Eggs are wet and eggs are...
No, they're wet until you cook them. Then they're dry.
No, then they made them the way they're supposed to be made. I bet you eat your steak well done, don't you? Yeah,
I actually don't eat that much steak.
Okay, but when you eat steak, how do you order it?
Well, it's not still mooing.
How do you order your steak?
Not like you do, like a caveman.
No, it's not like a caveman.
Medium rare.
Medium rare.
It's because you
That's
people
correct.
Are disgusting.
No, it's got to be because you're losing all flavor. You might as well get a rubber hose and eat that by the time you're done burning it.
But the amount
and
of salt that
meat.
You put on it, what's the difference?
Well, that might be a little true.
Touché.
Excuse me. Do you want me to tell the Cosmopolitan story in the day that you were at Del
tell
Frisco's?
Tell the story.
And Katie Hopkins was there.
Tell the story.
And you had 7 drinks in 45 minutes. And
you're welcome.
And you were hitting everybody at the table.
Not everybody.
And me, especially.
Just you.
Never sit with you again.
Very different.
Learn your lesson once.
That's right. We don't sit next to each other anymore.
All right. By the way, I've had a busy day today.
So you have.
I went down to D.C. After TV last night, and I just had the best time. I went to see my buddy Mark Levin. And Mark has his hit TV show on Fox now on Sunday nights, Life, Liberty, and Thank Me, the great one. And he asked me to be a guest for the hour. And I said, are you sure? You know, you really want me? And I've watched the show. I like the interviews with, he had Walter Williams on. He's had a lot of good friends on. Sarah Palin, which was a great, I've always liked Sarah. I hate the way they've treated this poor woman. And she was the first. Now we got Pam Bondi, and now we've got all these other women, Ivanka Trump and Melania, and look at how they're treating poor Sarah Sanders and Secretary Nielsen. I mean, it is unbelievable, the treatment of women by liberals, by the left, and even going after children. We really got to go after a 12-year-old kid like Peter Fonda did. And the silence of Hillary, Pelosi, Senator Warren, it's deafening. Because they don't want to go against their base. All right, so we went there. I did the hour, and it was really interesting. I have no idea how it came out. I don't know. I'm not used to being a guest anymore. I figure 4 hours of Hannity is enough. And he just started asking me questions that nobody asked me. I'm like, oh, why are you asking me that? And he wanted me the whole time to be talking about me, and I kept flipping it. I'm like, I don't really, if you really pay very close attention to this show, I give you glimpses of me, but I don't really, other people do that. Other people are very, very open about their life, and I just can't do it. Remember the day you and Ainsley were both crying when she was telling the story about, she's so open. I'm like, I'm not doing that. and you started crying. She was crying. We're up on a clock. The interview's about to end, and I'm coming off as the hard ass that's shutting it down because there's no time left in the show. And then we had to bring her back and then let her finish the story. But I admire people that want to reveal things about themselves. I like to keep things private. It's all bottled up. It's in there. And it's no. And I also have a sense of it's nobody's business, nor do I think people care. I don't think my life is all that interesting. It just, you know, it's my life. And here's the truth. It's like everybody, you know, Michaela got a new car today. She's so happy with a new car. And so she's sending me pictures of a new car. And I'm happy. Of course, I'm happy for her. And she's doing phenomenal in law school. And she has two babies now.
You should probably tell the audience who Michaela is.
Well, she's worked with us for years. And
Michaela used to work for Sean, and now she's in law school, and she has her own family, and she still helps Sean in between having her family and going to law school.
And I'm the godfather of one of her children. And I take it seriously.
The only place I disagree with her, I lost. You know, I was like, what do you think?
Yeah, why didn't you pick me? I would like to know the answer to that for Liam. Why did you not pick me?
First of all,
what?
I haven't baptized my son yet.
Why not?
Because I'm not a Catholic. I don't need to hurry up and do it when he's still 3 months old and he has no idea why some guy in a big robe is pouring water over his head.
Okay, so you're not going to baptize your child?
I may.
Next time I see him, I'm going to spit on him and say,
I don't think that Jesus is going to deny him entry.
No. You're going to spit on her child?
I'm going to lick my finger.
I'm going to give him a Hannity blessing.
A Hannity blessing.
That's how the Irish do it. You didn't know?
Okay, being Irish is a blessing and it's a curse.
It's very true.
That's all there is to it. All right. Anyway, so we got a lot going on. I had a great day with Mark. We flew back. I'm on a plane flying back, and just as we're taking off, I get the 5-4 ruling in the Supreme Court. And you remember Democrats were, you know, how they were when President Trump, you know, they were attacked the judiciary because they went judge shopping. And judge shopping is go to any place on the West Coast knowing you're going to get a liberal judge. And knowing when you appeal it, it's going to go to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, the most liberal appeals court in the country. And then you got to fight it even further. And we had different variations of this ban. And NYU's Brennan Law Center, for example, Donald Trump has displayed a troubling pattern of attacking judges and courts. You remember that? They were saying Trump is attacking the judges because he disagrees with their rulings. And it's a pattern that began during his presidential campaign and even before and has continued into his presidency. You remember Chuck Schumer? The president's attack on Judge James Robart, a Bush appointee who passed with 99 votes, shows a disdain for an independent judiciary. They don't want an independent judiciary. What the liberals can never get done at the ballot box, they want to legislate from the bench, just like their agenda for this year. They're not telling you what their agenda is if they win in 2018, the midterms. It's impeaching Trump, open borders, Obamacare, and they want the crumbs back. And by the crumbs, that means the extra money in your check. That one, they're actually stupid enough to tell you about. But the rest, don't tell anybody we're going to impeach Trump. Please, Maxine, stop it. Stop. Don't say it anymore. What are you doing? Yeah. Okay. Well, anyway, what's interesting, guess who's attacking the judiciary now? Today. 5-4 decision. And maybe you never Trumpers. Maybe you might want to know, without your help, we got a great decision in the Supreme Court today. You had nothing to do with it except attack me and Rush and Mark and, you know, the few of us, Laura, that were out there on a limb at the tallest tree and the littlest twig and the one leaf that was left from the fall, we're hanging on it together. And you guys were all over us, hoping and praying that on November 9, 2016, you could come out and you could actually say, Hannity's career is over. Done. We got him. I'm sure my obituary was written 1,000 different ways. But I don't care about them today. Because you know what I'm happy about? The forgotten men and women of this country. You know what? Millions of jobs, energy independence, our path is wide open, ending burdensome regulation, and yeah, a conservative Supreme Court justice, which on its own merit should have been enough just to elect Donald Trump, because I guarantee you Hillary would have appointed somebody that would have voted the other way today. So it's had already a big impact on the country. And by the way, the rest of the judiciary, you got Keith Ellison. He's slamming the Supreme Court. You know, he's talking about Plessy versus Ferguson that established separate but equal. And this decision will someday serve as a marker of shame. No. And Ellison, of course, the deputy chairman of the Democratic National Committee. And oh, he's a candidate now to be Minnesota's attorney general. I will never move to Minnesota if he's the attorney general. Enough people in New York hate me for crying out loud because I'm one of those conservatives. I'm pro-life. I'm pro-Second Amendment. We're not real New Yorkers. We are outsiders. That's what our own governor said about us. I'm like,
their problem is not me and the Democrats. Their problem is themselves. Who are they? Are they these extreme conservatives who are right to life?
Me?
A pro assault weapon?
Pro Second Amendment?
Gay? Is that who they are?
I'm not anti anything.
That's who they are. And if they are the extreme conservatives,
extreme.
They have no place in the state of New York.
No,
because that's not who New Yorkers are.
We have no place. I have no place in the state of New York. Well, why am I paying you all my money? Because you guys rip away a fortune from me every year in
do
the
you,
state of New York.
Do you remember?
Shoot a deer? How many bullets do you need to shoot a deer?
It's simple. No one hunts with an assault rifle. No one needs 10 bullets to kill a deer.
No one needs 10 bullets to kill a deer. Say deer.
Deer.
It's like the way you say Singapore for crying out loud. It's unbelievable. Anyway, so last year, Nancy Pelosi...
But wait. Can we play one more funny thing?
Go ahead. Take over my show. See if I care.
Do you remember when they made the song for you to stay in New York because you're like, I'm leaving? Do you remember this?
Oh, that was on Jon Stewart's show.
So funny.
This is hilarious.
Stay, Mr. Kennedy, stay. What do we do if you got away? Who would we tax till his money was gone? Who would we impose socialism upon?
A Kennedy classic.
This is when you know you've made it.
All right, we can't. That was the real Jersey Boys that are on Broadway singing that, and the real Nathan Lane, who's actually one of the best Broadway actors
so
ever.
Great. He's great.
I mean, and I'm not a Broadway pro. I don't go to plays. You go to all that crap.
No,
I don't go to that. You do so.
You do not.
You do so go to that stuff.
Who told you that?
I don't know.
Vicious rumor.
Ethan.
Blame me.
Ethan, you're fired.
All right. By the way, an Obama State Department official says the travel ban wouldn't have stopped any attacks on the U.S. By the way, you know, Senator Marie Harf, she works at the Fox News Channel. She won't even meet with me. She's the one that called for jobs for jihadis. Remember that? She doesn't want to even meet me. I said, would you like to? We've invited her on the show. Nope. You want to ever come on the show? Nope.
She can't handle that.
I'm like, why not? I mean, I'm a nice person. All right, let me take a break here. All right, we also, the Democratic insanity and meltdown is continuing. Somebody's going to get killed. This is, now it's not a game anymore. It's real. And I'll tell you why. There's more insanity. All right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. I don't even know what to tell you except that this is all real and it's all dangerous and it is... It's all because the president's successful. There's no other way to really, it's not a spin. It's just simple, basic, fundamental truth. You know, yeah, I know they want to censure on Maxine Waters and have her resign. And I didn't call for harming people, she said, and so on and so forth. And the House Republicans are moving against her. And, you know, by the way, she's been named the most corrupt member of Congress for 4 years in a row by, I don't even like this stupid group, though, CREW, the Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics. But this is how bad it is. And these are Democrats. They're attacking Pam Bondi, the AG of Florida, a woman. They're attacking Secretary Nielsen, a woman. They've been attacking Ivanka. They've been attacking Melania. They, you know, look at what they did. Sarah Sanders, it can't go in a whatever that disgusting place is down there. The president's right. I looked at it. I'm like, what a dive. What is Sarah Sanders doing there? If I could, I'd send her to like a really cool steakhouse, but I'll get accused of, you know, something horrible. So I can't do it. But my heart's there if Sarah Sanders hears about this. I guess I could take her out to dinner and her family out to dinner when I'm in D.C., right? That's allowed. We've been friends a long time.
You do know her dad.
I do know her dad, and I know her. And I think she's doing a fabulous job. And then they're attacking children. Isn't that cute? They go after nobody speaks up for Barron Trump, you know, a 12-year-old kid that you want to throw in a cage with a bunch of pedophiles. Where's all the outrage on the left? You know, and I have a whole other list here that I'm going to share with you. Let's see, Maddow, Madonna, Jim Carrey, Obama, Biden, Tim Kaine, Loretta Lynch, Maxine Waters, Steve Colbert, Bill Maher, Robert De Niro, Michelle Wolf, protesters, Robert De Niro again, and Maxine Waters. Please, Maxine, stop it. Stop. You're hurting the whole cause. It's a trick. We're supposed to keep it quiet. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. So we told you about Secretary Nielsen and Sarah Sanders, and we told you about Pam Bondi, and we told you about Barron Trump and the 4-year-old granddaughter of the president, Don Jr.'s daughter, Chloe, beautiful girl. I've actually met his kids. They're amazing. A 4-year-old little girl. And you got this guy in Canada. You're next. I mean, that's how sick it is out there. But then again, this all happened in the beginning when Trump won because they never thought Donald Trump would ever win. And then he won. But now they've got a bigger problem that's emerging before them. And that is that, Donald Trump is turning everything around after 8 years of horrific economic statistics. You can all say them by heart. 13 million more Americans on food stamps, 8 million more in poverty. The lowest labor participation rate since the 1970s, lowest home ownership rate in 51 years, worst recovery since the 40s, a doubling of our national debt. That's Barack Obama, 8 years. Donald Trump in 500 days, nearly 4 million new jobs created. We now are on a path to energy independence. The greatest dismantling of the federal bureaucracy, all the burdensome regulation that was putting a stranglehold on business, and business creates jobs. A president that picks up the phone and calls companies and says, stay in America because we want you here so the forgotten men and women can have jobs, a future, a better life, buy a new car, take a vacation, go out to dinner occasionally, and live in a nice house in a safe neighborhood. All things that every American wants. So, of course, if you're a liberal Democrat, and you want to get your power back and you want the big blue tidal wave of 2018, you don't want Donald Trump to succeed anymore. And then on top of it, wow, finally a politician that means what he says what he means. And Jerusalem is now the capital of Israel, a promise that multiple presidents made and never kept. He got us out of the horrific Iranian deal, although we really should get our $150 billion back. But the Iranian economy is now tanking and little rocket man's not firing rockets over Japan, threatening the entire region. He's dismantling nuclear test sites. He's released 3 hostages. He's willing to talk about denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. Oh, and by the way, he has purged hardliners and he stopped what is a yearly annual fest of American bashing because he wants to negotiate and we've given him nothing. Oh, wait, we gave him a photo op. Photo op. I think I would trade a photo op for 3 hostages myself. I'd take that deal. Never mind the dismantling of nuclear sites. Never mind. There's no more rockets being fired over Japan and Guam and everything in between. So they want Trump to fail. The only way Democrats can get back power is if Donald Trump fails. So they have to root for failure. And on top of everything that I just mentioned, Robert Mueller's witch hunt is collapsing before their eyes. Their hopes and their dreams of impeachment are dissolving like Alka-Seltzer in water. And the year and a half lie that they told didn't actually turn out the way they said it was going to turn out, which is, oh my gosh, to Democrats, that's like the end of, you know, life on Earth. Apparently, Maxine Waters was confronted by, remember Laura Loomer? She was at, wasn't she at the Bill Clinton, she was at the Bill Clinton book signing. Anyway, she confronted her, and she said, call my office. Okay, maybe I'll call Maxine's office. Does Maxine want to talk to me? Why don't we give Maxine Waters' office a call? I'd like to have a discussion because I want to give her a platform. I'll give her a full hour, and I'll just pretty much shut up, and she can do her anti-Trump rant right here on this radio program.
Reclaiming my time.
She can reclaim her time. She can impeach.
Reclaiming my time.
Okay.
Matter of fact,
Mr. Secretary,
reclaiming my time, please.
Okay.
I thought I was allowed to answer questions.
Reclaiming my time.
No, we didn't leave a message.
Reclaiming my time. What he failed to tell you was when you're on my time, I can reclaim it.
Reclaim it. You can reclaim your time. Okay, she reclaimed her time. And then, of course, impeach 45 is, you know, she's been told now not to say it anymore. But now she's urging people to actually go after people that work for the president and find them in grocery stores and gas stations and department stores and build a crowd and you know, go after them and tell them, you're no longer wanted here. What are they supposed to go somewhere else? Are you throwing them out? I mean, it's now we have apparently off camera. There was a cadre of reporters asking Maxine Waters questions just off the House floor just about an hour ago about her calls to, quote, harass administration officials, which she's now denying she even said. But we got the tape. I'll play it later. And she says she won't answer questions on if what she said is bad for the party and will only talk about the children. It's always about the children. Well, they didn't say anything when Barack Obama was president and the children were in cages and the children didn't have their parents and the children was separated. And the person that fixed the horrific law was Donald Trump fixed Congress's law because that was their law. It wasn't Trump's law. You know, this is a very interesting times. This is the most important midterm election in your lifetime. Hannity, you're using hyperbole. No. Their agenda's clear. Impeach Trump, open borders, keep Obamacare, and they want the crumbs back. That's the Democratic agenda. Now, there are some of you that are going to have a hard decision to make here. For me, it's not hard. The decision is you got a crappy, weak Republican Party rhino in your district. I don't know what to tell you. You're saying to me, but Hannity, The guy's visionless, and I'm going to say I agree with you. And you're going to say he's weak, he doesn't fight, and I'm going to say I agree with you. And he didn't keep his promises, and I'm going to say I agree with you. And he's feckless, and I'm going to say I agree with you. And he doesn't have a spine or a backbone. Hannity, you got a spine and your backbone? They have no backbone. They won't fight. And I'm going to say I agree with you. But the alternative of not going out and voting for that idiot, whoever your idiot happens to be, is going to result in the election of Nancy Pelosi, who wants her crumbs back and has stated so, and they privately want to impeach the president. That's who you're going to elect. And that's going to forever change history. They want to undo your election. They never thought he would win, and you decided otherwise. Not only did they not want him to win, but they were undermining him using the upper power of the FBI and our intelligence community to do so. They literally rigged an investigation for a guilty party, Hillary. They hated Trump, and not only did they exonerate her before investigating her, then they started literally trying to destroy Donald Trump, the candidate. And then they had the insurance policy, and then they lied to a FISA court four times. Original application, three subsequent applications. They lied in each one. And each one, the bulk of information was, oh, it was Hillary Clinton's bought and paid for Russian lies that she paid for through a law firm called Perkins Coie that then funneled money to Fusion GPS that then hired a outside national, foreign national by the name of Christopher Steele. Christopher Steele uses Russian sources, Russian government sources, and that becomes the dossier. And that becomes the bulk of evidence to get a FISA warrant to spy on an American citizen, not once, not twice, not three times, but four times. And Rod Rosenstein did number four. So I'm thinking, this is the biggest abuse of power we've ever seen. You know what the press is saying? He's after us. It's not fear. He's trying to suppress freedom of the press. No, he's not. He's calling you out for the liars and pathetic so-called journalists you think you are. A bunch of arrogant, you know, self-righteous, pathetically weak, can't take a punch back. It's the entire media against Trump. And Trump's winning. It's amazing. You see all those people back there? Fake news. You know what the brand is?
So we've created 3.4.
I know. We played that. Now, this is how bad it's gotten. I mentioned Secretary Nielsen, and I mentioned Pam Bondi, and I mentioned Melania, Ivanka, Sarah Sanders, and Barron, and a four-year-old granddaughter of the president. Now we've got one of the Department of Homeland Security, and somebody on my staff talked to this individual last night that literally is now a warning to Homeland Security employees of an increased level of threat to their safety with a series of violent acts now being sent to them. And we have one particular threat that came out where you have a dead carcass, apparently decapitated, left on a staffer's porch on fire, burned. Then you got a Florida Democrat arrested for threatening to murder a Republican congressman's children. That's number two. Then you've got police officers not being served at Burger King. Really? I was Burger King. I'd give them free Whoppers with cheese and say, thank you for being here. I feel safer with you around. That's me. You know, probably the cops can't take it, but the offer's nice. Then we've got Pelosi now is just trying so desperately to keep their real agenda, which is impeaching Donald Trump, open borders, keeping Obamacare, and, of course, taking the crumbs back. And then attacking women and children in the process and claiming, you know, they have a monopoly of compassion on women and children. And, of course, protesters gathering outside of Stephen Miller's apartment, passing out wanted flyers. Remember, weren't these the same people that got upset over targeted districts? Bob Beckel made up the term targeted districts. Everybody's used the term targeted districts. You're inciting violence. Well, what are you doing here, these people? You know, the reason why it's important to understand what's happening here is this is the only thing this morally bankrupt party known as the Democratic Party has. I challenge you. Tell me what their agenda is. What, to go back to the Obama policies? 8 years of failure? You want that? Because that's all they got. So because they don't really have anything inspiring, they go to their playbook. And the playbook's the same every 2 and 4 years. Republicans are racist. They're sexist. They're misogynist, xenophobic, homophobic, Islamophobic. They want to poison the air and water, by the way, that they drink. And they want to kill children. And they want to throw Granny over the cliff. And you say, so Hannity, how do you know this? I showed it to you last. I'll show it again tonight on TV. But it doesn't change. It's the same playbook. The same thing. Now, you know, I could go through the list of Madonna wanting to blow up, dreaming about, thinking about blowing up the White House. And, you know, then you got conspiracy TV, MSNBC. What's the lady's name? Maddow. Saying, oddly influential with the guy who wants to kill us. NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt. By the way, Tom Brokaw, you proud of that? Is anybody in NBC proud of that? And you've got Obama. Remember, I didn't take it too seriously. We'll send Mr. Burgess to fight Sean Hannity. Argue. Get in their face. He'll tear them up. Okay, you want to get? I'd rather you get in my face than you get in the face of Sarah Sanders or Pam Bondi. You can get in my face instead. Or rather than get in the face of Melania, Ivanka, or threaten Barron. Why don't you take? I am offering myself up. Take your shots at me or Secretary Nielsen. I don't really care. If you put your hands on me, I'm not responsible for what is going to happen next. That's all I have to say. It's easy to pick on a girl, I guess, right? Or a woman.
I need you to go out and talk to your friends and talk to your neighbors. I want you to talk to them whether they're independent or whether they are Republican. I want you to argue with them and get in their face. And
oh, okay. Yeah. We'll send Mr. Burgess to fight Sean Hannity. We'll tear him up. Joe Biden, I want to take Trump out behind the gym and fight him. Joe, I'll take his place. I am willing to stand in if you...
I have a better idea.
What?
You should have a spelling contest with Joe.
Jobs. J-O-B-S.
Three-letter word.
No, no, no.
Jobs.
Three letters.
J-O-B-S.
One, two, three, four.
Jobs.
No, he literally said he wants to take Trump behind the gym and fight him. I'm offering, if you want to beat somebody up, you have at me. You want to beat up, you want to take on Sarah Sanders, I'll yell at me. You want to kick me out of a restaurant? I don't care. You want to kick Secretary Nielsen out? I'll kick me out. You want to yell, shame, shame, shame? Go ahead. Have at it. Why is it always women and children that the left seems to be attacking? Always women and children. I thought they had a monopoly of compassion. Tim Kaine, fight in the courts, fight in the streets. Imagine if I said any of this crap. You know, Loretta Lynch, ordinary people saw what needed to be done. They marched, they bled, some died. We've done this before, we'll do it again. Now, there were brave people that I have praised all my career. I knew a lot of them in Atlanta. Maxine Waters, damn the Tea Party, straight to hell. Colbert, Donald Trump is Putin's beep holster. Bill Maher, Ivanka, you know, sexual suggestion of Trump. And sex. Nice guy he is. Let's see. Robert De Niro. Trump is a punk. I want to punch him in the face. I am willing to once again offer myself up. Robert De Niro, you can try and punch me in the face. I go right ahead. I'm available. I'm fine with that. Michelle Wolf making fun of Sarah Sanders. You know, Tommy Lahren, really?
You might need some legal help, you know.
We're going to go after a 24-year-old girl, Tommy Lahren. That we're going to do? Let's see. Maxine Waters. I'm just offering myself. You want to? They're offering violence. I don't want to get violent. I'm just saying I will substitute myself for all the women and the president and all the children that you're attacking. All right. Glad you're with us. 800. I'm watching. I'm paying attention. I'll shush up in there. Good grief. 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number if you want to be a part of the program. So, Sunshine, your soon-to-be sister-in-law is leaving the program.
I know.
And you have a friend of ours here, Kylie Kramer, Amy Kramer's daughter, who we've known for how long? How many? Yeah, put your microphone. It's a mic. It's radio. You got to talk. Shaking your head doesn't work on radio. Hi, go ahead. That's a rule. Yeah, you got to get close to it.
Boy, you're real subtle to the new person. Huh? I haven't even hired her yet.
All right, chill out. This is what I do. Okay, talk. Pull it down. Yeah. Yes, that's it. Yeah. Okay.
So I'm here.
You're here. All right. So I loved your mom forever. I remember when I first gave your mom a hug. It was in a tea party. It was in April 15, 2010. And we were doing Hannity in Georgia. And there was 25,000, 30,000 people showed up because your mother organized it. And I'm like, announced that I'd be there. And I'm thinking, well, maybe there's like a few hundred people show up. The street was packed. John Rich performed at the end of the show. So you're filling in. There's another liberal girl that Linda's auditioning, apparently, for your job that you're applying for. So how many people have you now whittled it all down to? Can you tell us?
How many did I start with, or how many do I have now?
How many did you start with?
17.
How come everybody wants to work for me?
Well, that wasn't even all the people, but, you know.
Did you tell Kylie that she has to sign a non-disclosure where all of George Carlin's...
Oh, my
God. Can I finish?
God.
Oh, my God.
Seriously?
Seriously? Yeah, seriously. And in it, you have to put in every curse word you say.
I'll have David write
every
an addendum.
Every outrage you say...
Thank you, David.
You know, and you're responsible, and you're going to put in there Linda's.
Listen,
responsible.
Listen, people like my vernacular, all right?
Can you you've heard only a small... Well, here's the question. Are you hiring her? How many people are you down to?
First of all,
because I don't do the hiring around
that's
here.
That's correct. You don't. And
I don't want to do the hiring.
I haven't made up my mind. You're welcome. It's right. A woman's prerogative.
How many are left
There's
on the
two.
List? So the liberal and Kylie.
That's right.
And she's a conservative.
That's right.
And you're thinking about a liberal for this show.
We're an equal opportunity job.
So what is Kylie, is it 50-50 or are you leaning towards one or the other? Tell the truth.
I think Sarah and David have some things to offer us
today. Are you leaning towards one person over another? Yes or no? Answer. I'm your boss.
That's like saying, what do you like better in a PB&J? You like the peanut butter? You like the jelly? You know, it all makes, it's a beautiful thing together.
So right now, if you had to pick today, which one would you pick?
I would pick to go home early and not have this conversation with you on radio.
How come your face is so red?
Because I'm Irish.
Oh. Anyway, joining us, we're so pleased and proud and happy to have back with us investigative reporter and Fox News contributor Sarah Carter, David Schoen, civil liberties attorney and criminal, criminal defense attorney. How are you? Good to see you both.
He's a civil liberties attorney.
Said that. If you would have paid attention and stopped yelling at
I was interviewing someone. I'm sorry.
Good to hear you both. You know, there's a lot of news, actually, on the whole Russiagate front today. Let me give a few headlines. Well, we got the troll farm. What was it? An 80-page rebuttal beatdown of Bob Mueller. Because Bob Mueller, when he indicted the 13 companies, actually never thought they'd show up in court. And now that they've showed up, they actually believe in discovery, and they're demanding to see the Rosenstein memo in total. And by the way, now we have Thursday, Peter Strzok is testifying behind closed doors. But tomorrow, what testimony is tomorrow, Sarah? Somebody's testifying tomorrow, or is it?
Thursday Rosen's is going to be Ray and Rosenstein.
Oh, that's right.
John.
And then Wednesday.
Tomorrow is going to be Strzok behind closed doors.
And the House Judiciary Committee, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Correct.
And it's also a joint committee. I think also Trey Gowdy's committee. No, or am I wrong on that?
No, I think you're right on that.
Oh,
yeah, absolutely.
House Oversight.
Everybody wants to know what Strzok has to say, right? And even if it's behind closed doors, I think it's unfortunate, and I think the president was right, Sean, that the American people should hear this testimony as well. We should have a right to hear it. Strzok was at the center of one of the biggest scandals in modern American history. He should explain himself to the American people. It's the U.S. tax dollars that were paying his salary.
And, you know, here's the thing. Why would they allow Strzok? Why would they agree to behind closed doors? Because the president tweeted out last night, and I agree completely, Peter Strzok, the anti-Trump hating individual at the center of it all, why does he get to go behind closed doors? And will he be under oath? That's another question I want answered.
Well, I don't. This is the thing. Yeah, he decided to not go. They said, look, you don't need to subpoena Peter Strzok. His attorney came out and said, don't subpoena him. Don't subpoena him. He'll more than willingly go and talk to you. He'll speak to you. Well, it's also a little bit tricky here. It isn't that Peter Strzok just wants to clear his conscience and tell the truth about everything. I mean, I don't know what his intentions are, what he's actually thinking. It was a maneuver on his attorney's part, because if he is subpoenaed, it would be much more rigorous. The questioning could be much more rigorous, and he wouldn't answer all of those questions, you know. So now he's going in voluntarily. He can try to explain himself. He cannot answer questions. So I think David Schoen would be able to explain the legalese behind this, but it was definitely a calculated move on his attorney's part to try, one, to make him look good, if that's even possible, in front of the public, and two, to, give him more of an opportunity to either not answer questions or to evade questions once he's behind closed doors.
All right, well, let's talk about the legal side. David Schoen.
You all called it. You forget, maybe. You all called it just a couple of days ago. You said on this show, Strzok's lawyer says Strzok wants to testify openly, etc. You said it will never happen. Let's see what happens. It will never happen. Well, I thought, you know, if the lawyer really was going to put Strzok forward to testify publicly, he should give back his law license. The rank and file of the agents hate it when another agent comes forward and testifies and takes the fifth. Strzok should have been put in that position. He should have been put in the position. His lawyer said he wants to testify. Give him a choice. Testify publicly or take the fifth. That's up to you. The American people now know what you did, part of what you did. We still don't know his private emails. There's a whole other server out there we don't have. The American people are entitled to the full story. He is a public servant, and that's the end of it.
You know, the thing is, it's absolutely right. And, you know, only until recently, even knowing everything we knew, this guy still has a job. And I'm thinking, why? And if he works for the American people, I think we have a right to know. And I think we have a right to get to the bottom of all of this. And the reality is they're keeping it from the American people. Now, by the way, Sarah, you have a breaking story. Literally, I just got hot off the presses. I just saw that you posted it on your website, that the House Judiciary Committee now approved a resolution today demanding the Deputy Attorney General turn over all requested subpoenaed documents regarding the FBI's handling of the Russia investigation during the presidential election after 7 days, or the impeachment and contempt move forward. Well, it's about time. I've been waiting for a while. And of course, the people that are at the forefront of it are the Freedom Caucus, because they're the only ones that really give a darn about what their agenda is and standing up for principle and fighting for the country. You know, the rest of them are frankly just pathetic, but that's a different story.
Yeah, so yeah, the resolution went through today. I have been told by a number of people that they've been sitting on this for quite some time. It was along party line votes, so it was 15 to 11. They passed the resolution, and they are requesting, they're demanding, actually, that Rosenstein turn over all the documents that they have been requesting over the past year. And if he does not turn those over, they're giving him up to 7 days, so they're going to have to wait till everybody comes back from the break, from the 4th of July break. And once all the members return, then it'll be up to leadership. If they haven't turned over the documents, it'll be up to Paul Ryan and others to take that to a full House vote.
Now, Ryan says he's going to do it, and Ryan and Gowdy and Goodlatte and Nunes met with Rosenstein, and they were supposed to produce documents the following week, and that kind of came and went, didn't it, with a few documents sent over.
Oh, that's right. I mean, it came and went. I know that they're not the only ones frustrated. Chairman Nunes is absolutely frustrated with this. A number of other lawmakers that have been sitting back waiting for Rosenstein to turn these over. I've also been told, and this is breaking news, I guess, as well, that last week Senator Grassley's office approached Rosenstein for documents, and they actually met with Rosenstein. And not to your surprise, Sean, because you say it all the time on the show, there was actually a shouting match behind closed doors again, and Rosenstein refused to comply at that time with what they were requesting and was told them basically, go ahead and take me to court. Remember, that's one of the options, that they can, you know, pull the contempt, do the impeachment, or go to court for these documents. And apparently Rosenstein feels that he can wait out all of this. And maybe he's trying to see if they're serious. Maybe he says, you know, let's see how serious these guys really are. If they're serious, they're going to move forward with this. And if they're not, well, then I've won this battle. But right now it looks like they're pretty serious, because this is the first time.
How many do we know FBI rank and file, who I'm predicting are going to be the heroes of this story, how many of those guys are waiting, hoping, begging to be subpoenaed? Because when they talk, they're going to expose a lot of corruption at the FBI. And I'm also being told that as many as 20, 30 more anti-Trump people were actually working on a lot of this stuff. Is that true?
I have been told that, Sean, yeah, as well. There's a number of anti-Trump people still working. I mean, this is the reason why they want to know, everybody, these are lawmakers, our Congress wants to know, who are the people working on Mueller's team? Who are the people that we need to investigate? I mean, if you look at Kevin Kleinsmith, do you know another name that's just popped out? There was a very anti-Trump bias on his part, and he was with the FBI. There's other FBI agents that they're investigating. And remember, one of the questions you had is, why was Peter Strzok still working at the FBI? There could have been a number of reasons, but a really important one, too, is the fact that he didn't leave. He didn't just walk away, which left him open to talking to the Inspector General. Remember, Inspector General Horowitz can oversee those investigations for the people that are still employed, still with under the Department of Justice. And that gave him the ability to really grill down and interview Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and the others who are still employed with the FBI. But he did lose his security clearance, and eventually, of course, he was walked off. But he was working. I mean, I knew people who saw him. In fact, he was traveling the country. Place I was told was Alabama, where he was doing some work.
And David, let me ask you a legal question. So Robert Mueller files against these charges against these 13 Russian bot companies, but clearly never thought they'd defend themselves. And they're actually arguing, Robert Mueller is, they don't deserve the right to discovery, which is the most idiotic argument I've ever heard. Why did they file charges, if only, I argue, to get the name Russia in all of this? and thinking that they'd never show up in court. And now that they not only showed up in court, but they got a pretty kick-ass attorney who filed an 80-page beatdown of Mueller. What does he do now but drop the charges because he doesn't want discovery?
Okay, well, that's another point you've made, a very important one all along since this thing first surfaced. Listen, due process requires that they get this discovery, and specifically the Rosenstein memo. If there's no authority for the course the investigation took, then they shouldn't have been in court in the first place. They shouldn't have been in the court in the first place for many other reasons. But you're right. I mean, he's got to make a choice. He's going to drop it. Let's just hope so. You have a judge who holds their feet to the fire. So I want to say this. You know,
is there any judge you can think of that wouldn't allow discovery on the half of somebody charged? Because that doesn't sound like they have the ability to defend themselves. I mean, isn't that kind of basic?
If they follow the law, absolutely. Are there judges who don't follow the law? Also, absolutely. Political appointees often don't follow the law, unfortunately. I want to say this. You know, we've talked about Strzok and what he said, what we know about him already. The IG report is very important for many reasons, but one of the reasons also is what's not in it. And you know what we never see in there? Anyone at any point saying to Strzok, McCabe, who we also know was in the meeting, or Page, guys, this is dead wrong what you're doing. This is not about a political agenda. I didn't see that in the report. And at any time, any official. So that tells you something about the team that's been compiled. Remember, Mueller had a universe of capable attorneys from around the country to choose. He only chose people with a political agenda. And I hope Rosenstein is asked that question when he comes before Congress. There are many things he needs to answer. But one is...
All right, stay right there. We got to take a break. Also, we're going to get into the developments on the absolute meltdown by the left. We'll continue with Sarah Carter and David Schoen. Also coming up, we have the chairman of the Freedom Caucus, Mark Meadows, and Ron DeSantis joining us. All right, Mark Meadows and Ron DeSantis coming up at the bottom of the hour as they now move towards, the possible impeachment of Rod Rosenstein. We continue with Sarah Carter and Greg Jarrett. You know, one of the things, you know, is the DOJ, this was a report that came out earlier today that information remains so secret that the Justice Department Inspector General had to censor it from his 500-plus page report. Not even members of Congress with top security clearance have been allowed to see unverified documents from presumed Russian sources in which the head DNC, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, allegedly implicates the Clinton campaign and Loretta Lynch. You're on radio. That's Sarah Carter.
I know.
Is that Annalise? Hi, Annalise.
No, Luke. Annalise is actually still at summer camp. She went to Six Flags today, so she's having a great time.
Okay. And she's on all the roller coasters throwing up as we speak. I got it. But real quick, is that true, do you think?
Oh, well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that they're trying to keep information from the lawmakers, Sean, but I also believe that there's some things in there that may be classified that they may feel they can't share because of sourcing and methods, and that's very common.
Well, what about this? What about the FBI began investigating the Trump campaign possible ties to Russia, Crossfire Hurricane, and Clinton-connected informants approached the Trump campaign seven times before the FBI launched Russiagate. That's real clear investigations. Did you see that?
Yes, and I did see that story, and I think that's so important. That story is not, I think it's just the beginning of the iceberg, but let me bring something else up.
You have 10 seconds.
They talk about the necessity to keep those things classified, but they leaked the majority of that information that led people to see what was going on.
All right, so David Schoen, Sarah Carter. Thank you. Mark Meadows, Ron DeSantis, next.
Here's Sean Hannity.
Well, Peter Strzok is a key figure in both the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails and other investigations regarding the former Secretary of State and presidential candidate, and a lead instigator and the leader of the investigation for quite some time into the so-called Trump-Russia collusion matter. And his text messages between himself and Lisa Page have been very enlightening, but they raise as many questions as they answer. And therefore, we have a lot of questions for Mr. Strzok about his involvement in both of these investigations and the apparent bias that those text messages reflect. And so we indicated we wanted him to come. We've been working for quite a few weeks to have this happen. His attorney recently said, well, he'll come voluntarily. But then when we had everything set, it became apparent that he was not committing to the time and place that we had thought we had agreed upon. So I issued the subpoena last Friday, and he is commanded to appear on Wednesday.
All right, that was Bob Goodlatte of his committee and asking what to ask Peter Strzok on the hearing tomorrow. And I just want to know why this is not a public hearing, because this is the person at the center of all of this. And considering he's the guy that interviewed Hillary, he's the one that wrote the exoneration before investigation, he's the biggest Trump hater of them all, and then he began and was a key investigator, which might have rendered illegitimate from the get-go, the whole so-called Russia collusion, where there's still no evidence after all this time. Anyway, joining us to discuss is the Freedom Caucus chairman, Mark Meadows. He's with from North Carolina, and gubernatorial candidate, our friend Ron DeSantis of Florida. I actually think I'm going to see you down in Florida over the vacation, and I look forward to it. Welcome both of you to the program, and I want to know why Congressman Meadows, why is this private? Why can't the public see? And is he going to be under oath?
Well, he should actually be in public. We should have a transparent hearing. Candidly, I have fought for that, believe that we should be there. And yet, most of the other transcribed interviews we've had have been in private, but it leads a whole lot for interpretation. And so, I guess the chairman, Goodlatte, has said that he will be coming back and doing a public interview then. But I think both Ron and I believe that transparency is the best medicine for what ails us with this DOJ-FBI debacle.
Well, I want to understand Congressman DeSantis. I want to understand, number one, do we know yet if he's under oath tomorrow?
I think he will be under oath, but I agree with you, Sean. It should be made public. What he did goes far beyond just his individual circumstances. I mean, he tried to influence a presidential election illegitimately, and his conduct did cast a cloud over Trump's initial presidency. I mean, he started this whole collusion narrative by opening up the counterintelligence investigation, and he did it because, as he texted a week after he opened the case, he wanted to stop Trump. And so this was his insurance policy. So this, the public needs to see him answer tough questions. And I'm not opposed to doing depositions, but we've just moved so slow on this thing. I think the public wants answers now.
And I think the public deserves answers now. And considering that Congressman Meadows, he's been at the heart of this whole thing. You know, there are a lot of reports flying all over the place about what's going on in terms of Washington, not the least of which is that, you know, we have the DOJ now sitting on a bombshell evidence that would implicate Loretta Lynch, and that apparently there's a report, Real Clear Investigations via the Washington Times, saying that Clinton-connected informants approached the Trump campaign seven times before the FBI launched Russiagate. What about the fact that an FBI informant in May, remember this whole Trump-Russia collusion thing didn't officially start till the end of July, right after Hillary was exonerated. How is it that Michael Caputo was approached by a guy that said he had information that he had from Russia, and he wanted to meet Roger Stone, and Roger Stone met him for 15 minutes, and the guy wanted $2 million, and it turns out he was an FBI informant. Is this just another spy that we didn't know about?
Well, a lot of those unanswered questions, Sean, are exactly that. What happens is the timelines are not actually adding up. And no one's been more focused on it than Ron DeSantis and Jim Jordan and Matt Gaetz and I. You know, when we've looked at this and we've looked at these documents, and here we do know, before the investigation was open, it appears that there were a number of other contacts that bring real question into, was there really an investigation and informants before the July 31st date that where the Russia investigation started. Here's the other interesting thing is, we also know the Peter Strzok, who's being interviewed tomorrow, had a number of conversations and exchanges about impeachment of this president, and that was before the investigation really got underway. I mean, it's very troubling that the bias that is out there, and yet somehow we pretend like this was a legitimate investigation by the FBI.
I am told there may be as many as 20 or 30 more people involved in both the Clinton email server investigation and the so-called Trump-Russia collusion investigation that haven't been identified. We don't even know the five people that have been recommended for further investigation. You mentioned the name of what is it? Gladstein is now the third person. You know, who's the next person? Aren't there? How many people do we know of that are involved in this?
Well, go ahead, Ron.
Yeah, well, no, look, Mark has done a good job of identifying some of the folks that the IG report wouldn't, because the FBI and the DOJ illegitimately said that these were people in counterintelligence and therefore they couldn't have their identities released. That is not true. Mark blew the whistle on that, so we do know the names of some of them, including one of the FBI attorneys who was mourning after Hillary's loss, saying, what could we at the FBI have done different to elect her? And then he said he's going to dig in because Viva Robert. Resistance. So he's going to use his perch in a position of power in the FBI to try to resist, actively resist a newly elected president. And that is really, I think, synonymous with how this whole investigation's been. It's been run by people who are out to get Trump, and it has no more legitimacy left.
Let me ask about what is now the resolution that the House Judiciary Committee has drawn up. And I know Congressman Meadows and DeSantis, both of you are very aware of this. That we now have had active obstruction by the Department of Justice, where they refuse to listen to congressional subpoenas. And there's, this has now gone on. This game has gone on for well over a year. And it even goes back to when Jason Chaffetz was sitting on a committee, and that the DOJ refuses to turn over the documents so that Congress can do what it is constitutionally authorized to do and required to do, which is oversight. And they have used, basically they just don't comply, or they use heavy redactions in the name of national security. And then it turns out it has nothing to do with national security. And then after that, they just lie. So my question is, are you serious? Is this real? What the Judiciary Committee has now approved for the first time, this resolution demanding Rosenstein turn over the requested documents or face possible impeachment or contempt?
Well, it is. It was voted out of Judiciary today. Actually, Ron and Jim Jordan did a great job in their efforts there. But it wasn't just today. They've been at the very forefront of all of this. And I'm here to tell you, we'll break the news on your show. It appears that we're going to be able to vote on Thursday in the House before the entire House a sense of Congress that gives DOJ a very short time frame to turn over the rest of the documents. And
Is it a week? I heard it's a week.
It was proposed to be 7 days, and so obviously voting on that, it's incumbent upon every freedom loving, transparency loving member to vote for that, because it's time that we get the documents.
So the bottom line is now Rosenstein and Ray. They're set to testify. Here's my question. So they're going to testify on Thursday. So tomorrow, are there any Freedom Caucus members that will be able to ask Peter Strzok questions or any? Go ahead.
Probably just Jim Jordan. I mean, that's one of the things, Sean, when you do this stuff behind closed doors, the way the Judiciary Chairman has handled it is there's only a hand, certain people can even ask questions. And Jim initially wasn't allowed to ask questions. He's been really fighting to do it. So he's going to be asking questions. I'll be in there probably telling him, hey, what about this? What about that? But it's not conducive to, because what you want in this are the people who really know the facts well to be the one doing most of the questioning. And that's not necessarily going to be the case if the chairman just picks random people. So I'm glad Jim's in there, because Jim's a bulldog, and Jim will go after Strzok, and he will confront him with the truth.
But we're not going to be able to hear. We won't hear one word of what goes on there.
Well, I don't think so. I mean, unless they release the transcript, which I think they should do. I mean, obviously, I think it should be before the cameras. But if it's not, at a minimum, you got to release the transcript so that the American people can see what went on there. So, yeah, I'm very concerned if we just do this and then it's kind of buttoned up and no one is able to access the truth other than the handful of people who were in there.
Well, I know that there are people that actually have a great skill at transcription that can actually do it in real time. And literally, we could be getting reports every hour about what is happening in there. Who would be the person that makes that decision, or would there be a vote on that?
Well, there's not really a vote on it, Sean. Ron's right. It's basically a call that Chairman Gowdy and Chairman Goodlatte make on that, and to keep those confidential. I think there has been real pressure. I know that I mentioned something to Chairman Goodlatte earlier today that I felt like that Peter Strzok, of all individuals, should be the one where we have really this transparency for the American people to hear for themselves what went on. And yet, as of right now, it is going to be a confidential transcribed interview with things that, you know, candidly would have to be leaked out in order for you to be able to report on them.
You know, it is a little bit disconcerting to me that this guy gets to go in privately and hide behind closed doors and not in front of television cameras. And he says he's willing to testify. Well, are we sure he's not getting any sweetheart deal, that he's not getting any immunity? There's no proffer involved in this? Nothing?
Well, no, they're certainly not from the Congress, but I don't think we can be sure. I think he needs to be questioned about how he was handled in the FBI and Justice Department. And don't you think it's odd, Sean, that the guy who probably most clearly had no business being in the FBI is the last guy to get fired? I mean, Comey fired, McCabe fired, James Baker out of the government, Rubicki out of the government, all these people, and yet Strzok has been there. Lisa Page gone. So I'm not saying there's anything there, but we definitely need to ask him that question and figure out what the heck were you doing on a taxpayer's salary this whole time after you got demoted? Because it seems to me once his first text messages came out many months ago, he should have been fired the next day.
Doesn't this whole thing with the beginning of the entire Mueller investigation, does it not begin as illegitimate when it's the guy that we know hates Trump, that literally we know Hillary committed felonies. We know that they wrote an exoneration before investigation. We know that she obstructed. There's never been a more clear-cut case for obstruction of justice. Others have gone to prison for far less than what Hillary we know did, and Comey admits she did. And the question is, now that he begins the Russia investigation, doesn't that render the whole investigation illegitimate under the circumstances and under which it was the beginnings of this whole thing?
Well, it obviously does. I mean, Ron is a very gifted attorney and very credentialed, so he can maybe speak to this better than I can. But here is the problem. When you have someone with that much inherent bias, as Peter Strzok has displayed in his text message and his emails, and where the investigative team was a very small group. Now, you mentioned 20 or so other people. Here's the thing is, the people who controlled this investigation were a very small group of people who have displayed bias through their text messages and email exchanges. And yet, they're the ones that put forth the evidence for Bob Mueller to look at this collusion. It's very troubling.
Doesn't stop Trump. Doesn't an insurance policy sound like collusion at the highest levels of the FBI?
Yeah, I mean, think about it, Sean. Strzok was famously, when Trump stood up the Republican nomination, he texted Lisa Page, "Now we've got to bring the Hillary thing to an end." And, of course, he helped do that. He's the one that starts the counterintelligence case against Trump's campaign. He says we'll stop him a week later. And then a week after that, he says, "Well, look, you guys say he can't get elected. We can't take that risk. We need an insurance policy." So what he is saying is he had this investigation specifically as an insurance policy to kneecap Trump. That is not a valid pretext for an investigation. And it wasn't just any investigation. It was unleashing the counterintelligence powers of the federal government against an American campaign. Massive abuse of power. And I think he absolutely should face justice for abusing power.
Are there many more people that we're going to hear about that hated Trump and that were involved in these investigations and supported Hillary? Last question, Mark Meadows.
Yes, you'll see additional names that'll come out other than just the Klein Smith and Moyer and some of the others. You'll hear additional names that will come out in the coming days. But I think you've only seen the tip of the iceberg. These text messages were bad, but the emails that I'm starting to review actually
are worse.
The question, even they're even worse in ways. So it is very troubling. But the American people have waited too long. Hopefully, justices are around the corner.
Mark Meadows, Ron DeSantis. I'm not letting go until we resolve this. And I want to thank you both for what you're doing, because you know what? If we don't have equal justice under the law, equal application of our laws, we don't have a constitutional republic any longer. It's that serious. And I'm shocked that we had all of this go on. To me, it's like a soft coup attempt in America. And it's not funny, by people that actually had the power. Mark Meadows, Ron DeSantis, thank you.
Coming up next, our final news roundup and information overload hour.
Trump is the one who is creating lies, trying to have people believe that I talked about harming people. There's nowhere in my statement, anytime, any place that we talked about harm. And so our members of the Democratic caucus are talking about civility, and that makes good sense. But protest is civility. Protest is about peaceful resistance to the kind of actions that we're experiencing from this president.
And if you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome anymore.
Not welcome anymore. You show up, you build a crowd in a restaurant and gas stations and department stores. Oh, but I didn't say any of that, and that's Trump's fault. I mean, it's about as unhinged as I've ever seen it. You know, it got so bad, as I mentioned earlier in the program today. By the way, News Roundup, Information Overload Hour, Sean Hannity Show. Now we've got, and I know this is true because somebody spoke to the guy, a DHS employee with a decapitated, burned carcass on his porch, and was barely able to get rid of it before his kids came home. You got a Florida Democrat arrested for threatening to murder Republican congressman's children. You got police. Yeah, the ones that protect and serve, the 99% of people that risk their lives for us. Yeah, they were refused service by Burger King employees. And while Pelosi, don't talk about impeachment. You know, just you can't say all of this. Maxine Waters, stop being so crazy. Yeah, that's not working. Then we got the Red Hen, and the owner, literally, it even got worse. We didn't know originally, follows Sarah Sanders' family to the next restaurant and then brings in protesters again. Wasn't enough that she threw her out of her restaurant. Pam Bondi, you know, called every vile, vicious, hateful name in the book, and, you know, surrounded by, you know, three big guys, and they're saying to her boyfriend, your girlfriend's a, well, A, B, C, D, E, F, go through the alphabet. And what are you going to do, Blue Eyes? You're going to let us call her? And then they'd say it again, provoking a fight. Really? There's a piece in the Boston Herald, the left has got to practice what they preach. You got protesters now gathering outside of the White House, Stephen Miller's apartment, passing out wanted flyers. Then, of course, we've got ICE agents' phone numbers all over the internet and their home addresses. Oh, in Chicago, a bar bans what hat you can wear. They've lost their minds. Why? Because, oh, the economy is on fire since Donald Trump's become president. Little Rocket Man's not firing rockets anymore, and he's releasing hostages and dismantling nuclear test facilities and on and on and on. He's talking about denuclearization of the entire peninsula. Oh, and then the Iranian deal is done, as he promised. Oh, and then Jerusalem's now the capital of Israel, as he promised. So many other presidents promising but not delivering. Anyway, joining us to discuss the debate, our old friend, where's she been? I have no idea. D.C. McAllister's back with us. And Geraldo Rivera, Fox News legal analyst, author of the bestseller The Geraldo Show. Geraldo, you know, one thing I will say, we don't agree on everything. And honestly, we agree on a lot of stuff. I think the biggest disagreement we have is about immigration on some issues. But you should be proud of the president because he fixed what no other president would fix. And that's Congress's crappy law. And by the way, I don't even think it'll hold constitutional muster, but he gave Congress time to do their job. But besides that, you want this president to succeed. Now he's succeeding and the left can't stand it because they see their power slipping away.
You know, the way I see it, and you went through the list and that litany of incivility, I think, Sean, will be the reason there will be no blue wave in November. I think that the Democrats will lose. They'll fall far short in the House and in the Senate. I think there's a chance that you may even have some red state pickups, because the American people don't like confrontation. We don't like, the kind of in-your-face, lack of basic manners that has been expressed by Congressman Waters and others. I think that it's really, really the failure of the left to really perceive where they have to go if they want successfully to oppose President Trump. President Trump, and he got a big triumph today in the United States Supreme Court, as you know, Sean. He got,
it was huge.
The travel ban has been upheld as constitutional on a close 5-4 vote. But what the court said, and I think that this is important, and I think that everybody has to listen to the underlying message. What is the underlying message? Very briefly, it's that President Trump sometimes uses rhetoric that incites people to lose their, they go Trump crazy. They go way beyond where they usually, they just make them nuts. That's President Trump's words. But President Trump, his actions, he has governed as a traditional conservative president, and he's been, as you noted, I think very clearly, very successful at it with the economy and some of the other initiatives, North Korea being foremost among them.
You know what you should be saying? You should be saying to your best friend, Sean Hannity, Hannity, you've been right all along. Hannity, I'm messing with you, by the way.
You know, well, but no, but the president says that of you, and as I have said often, you're the second most powerful man in the country. Because
that's scary, Geraldo.
Of your symbiotic relationship and your clear thinking and very articulately expressed conservative philosophy.
You're very kind. Listen, I'm a spoke in a wheel, and that's how I view myself. I'm trying to be humble here. I know every voter has a say. Every other, talk host, they get it, have a say. You have had a say. You have powerful impact, too. You know, D.C., one of the problems Democrats have is the 8 years of Obama were atrocious. I can cite all the statistics. I've done it many times for this audience. But what do they stand for now? Impeaching the president, but we're not going to tell you we're going to do it. They want basically open borders. They want Obamacare. And Nancy Pelosi wants her crumbs back. She wants the tax cut money back. And she's running on raising people's taxes. I don't see that as an agenda that's going to be successful.
It's never been successful, this liberal agenda. And the underlying issue here is not just deranged feelings about Trump, but an ideological problem. For 8 years, the left had their ideology stroked and pampered. And they didn't have anything to get upset about, whether things were bad or not. It didn't matter. Their ideology was making headway and was respected and was out there to be approved by Obama. But now with Trump, it's not just his tweets and his attitude, but it's also that he's poking a hole in the ideology of the left. And it's ideology, and it's that leftist ideology that's undergirding the immigration debate. And one thing with Maxine Waters, she gave that litany of whose side God is on. One thing she didn't say is that God is on the side of truth. And when you're going to be protesting, and when you're going to be standing in the streets protesting, and I don't have a problem with people protesting peacefully and rightly, but you better be standing for the truth. I don't advocate protesting for just anything. Free expression, to be free expression, is meaningless if that free expression isn't rooted in something substantial and true. And the whole immigration anger today is rooted in something that is just simply not true. And that Trump is abusing children at the borders and that they're being ripped from the arms of their parents unjustifiably. And so it's all being used to promote an ideology, and that's what they're most angry about. And that's what you're seeing, their anger. And if they continue to lose elections, their anger is going to get worse.
Well, I think a lot of it is rooted in, this is what they do every 2 or 4 years, which I went through in great detail earlier in the program. You know, the problem, Geraldo, is I know you, and if you were Pam Bondi's boyfriend, now Pam, to her credit, told him to stop, don't do it. But if they're getting in your grill or my grill, and they're saying that about your wife, I don't think you're going to wait. I don't think it's possible.
I absolutely would not. But I want to say this about civility and the need for it and how the left is losing. They're killing themselves. They're choking themselves by being gangsta and losing the basic manners that we need to coexist in a very diverse and bustling country. Going forward, we need to have. room where people are allowed to speak their mind. Don't get in my face. If you get in my face, you know, it's. I'm not asking to turn the other cheek, but what I'm saying is Maxine Waters is self-destructing. The Democrats are self-destructing. On the other hand, you cannot, on the one hand, say to the red hen, how dare you, when you go to the President Trump rally and they're yelling at Jim Acosta, fake news, and drowning out the guy's live shot. We need civility on both sides. We need manners on both sides. We have to allow people to speak. And just to say one brief thing to D.C., you know, I think that, you know, it is pretty clear to me that the president committed an unforced error with the zero tolerance policy that was not clearly thought out. Facilities were not ready for the policy. The policy was implemented prematurely, and it resulted in families being traumatized and the president suffering unnecessarily, being labeled as heartless and cruel and all the rest of it. It could have been much more.
With all, but Geraldo, I don't want to get into it. The only thing I'm going to say, and then I'll throw it to D.C., is this is the law. Congress passed the law, not Donald Trump. Donald Trump said from day one he didn't like it. And number two, he fixed the bad law that he had nothing to do with, which, by the way, Obama never did. So let's be clear here. There is a constitutional order, and Obama said, look, even I have to enforce the laws even if people get hurt. I can play you the words because it dealt with immigration. D.C.
Yeah, this law has been enforced not enforced during Obama, but for years. And we know what it is and what's involved in it. If there's any kind of process or structural thing that needed to be handled, was the courts and the overflowing from the federal courts to the state courts with other kind of issues like drug smuggling. But as far as the law as it is, it didn't create, zero tolerance didn't create this manifestation of separating children from their parents. And that's part of the law itself. And if you're going to enforce the law, that's going to happen. And I would like to say 90% of the children who are taken from their parents are released to a sponsor or to a parent or close relative immediately. So we're talking about a very small percentage of people. It's that small percentage of people who are still, although coming here illegally.
Pictures of kids in cages, but they were under Obama's term, and Obama didn't fix it. I mean, it's just a fact now, just like, you know, the little girl on Time magazine was never separated from her mom and dad. And now we're in a season where Democrats say Republicans are racist, sexist, misogynist, homophobic, xenophobic, Islamophobic. They want dirty air, water. They want children dead, and they want to throw grandma over the cliff. It's the same playbook. It's the same lie. It's all they've got. Obviously, they can't really run on the crappy agenda that I mentioned earlier. But stay right there. We'll come back more with D.C. McAllister and Geraldo Rivera. And as we continue with D.C. McAllister of PJ Media, Geraldo Rivera, who really needs no introduction. D.C., by the way, currently authoring a book with our friend Dan Bongino on Trump and the Russia investigation. That's great news, by the way, D.C. You know, Geraldo, at the end of the day, don't we all want the same things? Don't we really? Is it really you have agreed that the president has gone far? He's saying, give me the money for the wall. You support him building it. You said, oh, you're fine with it. He's giving on DACA, and he's willing to make the permanent fix so no child is ever separated from their parents. That sounds like a win, but Democrats don't want a win. They want a campaign issue. That becomes their problem.
You may be right about that, that the Democrats and the Republicans both see it in their best interest to keep this this tense and hostile confrontation and keep immigration out there as the big divide between the Trump base and the Democratic base, such as it is. A couple of quick things. Number one, President Obama did have a supermajority in the Senate. He had the House of Representatives during the first 2 years of his first term. He should have done immigration reform then, as he promised, rather than the Obamacare, which ended up dividing the country in a way that no one perhaps foresaw. And I think that the president, the 44th president, dropped the ball in that regard. The second thing I want to say is that now that that President Trump, the 45th president, has won this resounding victory in the Supreme Court, I would hope that he would be magnanimous in his tone and spirit. The vast majority, law-abiding,
he's doing everything
people.
You want. He's doing it. He's offering it. He's sincere. He wants it done.
the wall and then get and also at the same time get a kind of comprehensive immigration.
They don't want it. They don't want
the lives of these 11 million people.
Democrats don't want it, D.C. We'll give you the last word.
One of the things I really want to point out here is about the civility that Geraldo is talking about, is that one thing that can get lost in the call for civility is just the seriousness of the conflict and the tension. And I agree with him that there are people on the both sides that like to keep that tension going. But I think there are a whole swath of Americans who really truly care about the law and keeping the law and protecting our nation and honoring our nation as it's founded, and that their fervency to protect that may cause rise in emotions. Now, hostility is not called for, but sometimes you have to be firm and strong against a hostile enemy or force that's coming after you in order to stand your ground for what you believe and what you believe is true. And we're going to see this more and more as long as leftist ideology, which is in itself hostile, continues on the rise.
All right, I got to let it go there. D.C. McAllister, Geraldo Rivera, Geraldo's book, by the way, The Geraldo Show in bookstores. And soon, D.C. McAllister and Dan Bongino's book is coming out. Thank you both. 800-941-SHAWN is our toll-free telephone number. Straight to the phones when we get back. We have an amazing Hannity. Hope you'll join us tonight, 9 Eastern, on the Fox News Channel as we continue. All right, 25 till the top of the hour, 800-941-SHAWN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program? Yeah, the travel ban upheld. We have the Democratic Party in a total and complete and utter meltdown mode. And, you know, one thing we really haven't talked a lot about, even the New York Times said that Donald Trump can deport illegal aliens without due process. Oh, maybe because they're not citizens. Maybe that was meant for American citizens. Just a side note. There is a horrific story going on in New York. You know, there's evil in this world. I've said it many, many times. I wrote a book, Deliver Us From Evil. You know, that's actually in the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil. Well, there's evil in this world. For example, if you're a radical Islamist and in the name of Allah, you kill innocent men, women, and children, and you just you literally pervert a religion to justify killing innocent people, that's murder. Fascism is murder. That's, you know, we go back throughout history. Stalin's Russia, 30 plus million people murdered. Nazi Germany is evil. There's evil when, you know, think of rape. Rape is evil. You know, a pedophile is an evil human being. There's no other way to describe it. I don't know how else. What do you want to say? That it's a chemical imbalance? No, it's something so dark, so sinister, so repugnantly evil that you don't even see the harm you are perpetrating on innocent people. So in New York, there is, well, there's the most heartbreaking picture on the New York Post today, and His Light Lives On is what the headline is. And a sea of candles honoring an innocent teen murdered by a gang. And anyway, the candles are the exact spot where this young man, Lisandro Jr. Guzman Files, was killed with a machete. It was a case of mistaken identity by this Trinitario gang members is the name of the gang, not one that I'm that all familiar with. And what's so unbelievably horrible about all of this is this 15-year-old kid, the murder was caught on video. And you see, literally, they're pounding a knife into this 15-year-old kid's chest. It is so grotesque and so dark. And, you know, there's a sea of mourners, and you could just see how this has impacted everybody. But, you know, here you have this young kid walking into a boy's home and, you know, just hanging out. And they spent about 15 minutes, you know, people going back and forth out of the house, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't know how you ever recover from something like this. You know, our friend over at Majestic Manor Puppies, this woman, Connie, I won't give her last name, she lost her 17-year-old daughter to a drunken driver who was an illegal immigrant. He only spent 8 years in jail. That's, you know, you talk about separation. Then she recently sees a report. The guy's back in the country. They caught him, but he's back in the country illegally. Anyway, I've gotten to know this lady because my dog Marley just had 5 puppies, and they're the most beautiful puppies you'd ever see. Anyway, it's so sad, and I don't know how she's dealing with this. It's very rough. All right, let's get to our busy phones here as we say hi to Catherine is in Wichita, Kansas, KNSS. Yeah, I have a quick question. Have you ever heard of Atlas MD in Kansas, in Wichita?
No, I don't think so, uh-uh.
You haven't heard of our friend Dr. Josh Umber? And you got to call this guy, and he's got to become your doctor. He's right in your town. Guess what you pay a month for unlimited care for you as an adult? Take a guess.
How much?
Take a guess. Primary care
$30.
$30 for a month? I mean, a doctor couldn't open his door for $30. He can barely open it at 50, but, you know, think of this. Unlimited care, unlimited, and you buy, and you get your prescriptions right there on site. And then you catastrophic care, like, for example, if you have a heart attack, God forbid, cancer, bad accident, and you're paying less than you've ever paid with the best concierge care in your life. Anyway, what's on your mind today, Catherine?
Well, I just wanted to share with you a short story about meeting Dr. Krauthammer. A few years ago, we went to Dallas for my husband's office meeting once a year, and he was a speaker there, and I was privileged enough to go and be able to hear him speak. And he was generous enough to hand out copies of his books, signed, of course. And after he got done speaking, my husband and I went to an elevator to go back up to our room, and Dr. Krauthammer happened to get on the same elevator, and we all said hello. And the young gentleman that was with him looked at me, and I was holding the book, and he said, "Well, I heard that book is a really good book to read." And I said, "Yes, I've heard the same thing." And you hear this voice, and, "Well, I hear the guy that wrote it's pretty good, too." And
oh,
we all
really?
Kind of laughed.
That's funny.
I know. We all kind of laughed, and I looked at him, and I said, "Yes, I've heard the same thing, and I think that also." And, you know, we all just, it was a very, very brief encounter, very sweet, but just what a lovely man and just a wonderful sense of humor and will truly, truly be missed.
You know, it's very interesting. In his speech, did he tell the story about what a dope I am, or he didn't tell it in that particular speech?
I didn't know. He did not. He didn't share that with me. But I was very surprised when he came out on stage myself, to be honest. And he came out in a wheelchair, and I was like,
it's amazing how many people like me never knew. And he loved it because he never wanted to be defined by it. And I'm the dope that said to him after I'd interviewed him, you know, a lot, I said, "I never knew." And he loved it. And he told that story over and over and over again at my expense. You know, he was just an intellectual powerhouse. And I just admire people that I think overcome the most challenging things in life that I don't think I could do. I would like to think I could handle it as gracefully as he did. I don't think I could have. And I just, you know, he built a life for himself in spite of, you know, being a very pretty young man who had just become a doctor when all this happened to him. And everything that he did in life was that much more difficult, just getting up out of bed and getting dressed and taking a shower and eating breakfast and getting in a car. I mean, you're talking about hours, you know, of your day every day. And I'm sure it was frustrating at times for him, but he never showed it. I just happened to see some of the people that knew him best that did hair and makeup in the Washington, D.C. Bureau of the Fox News Channel. And, I mean, they're devastated. They loved him. Absolutely loved him. And they're the people that know the real side of people. You want to talk to what people are really like in TV? Talk to the hair and makeup people. They know it all. Because, you know what? Kind of in those moments where the good, the bad, and sometimes the ugly comes out. Anyway, well, not looks. I'm talking about inside.
No, for sure. I mean, without your fake lashes, you look horrid.
You have your own dark side. You know that? You have just...
Well, for sure.
Anyway, Catherine, thank you so much for the call. And that's just, I'm glad you shared that story with us. Thank you. Christina is in Orlando, News 96.5. What's going on, Christina? How are you?
I'm great, Sean. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
You covered all this yesterday, but I just wanted to just even stress it even more that it's just so disappointing how the left behaves. You know, I mean, if we would have done any of this vitriol on when Obama was in office, we would all be, you know, prosecuted. We'd have the FBI at our doorstep, you know, interrogating us. What is going on? We probably would be arrested. And I just don't understand how, like, Jeff Fonda and all these people can say such vile things and not get arrested. It's mind-boggling.
How did Madonna, Nick, not get arrested for saying, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House? I mean, but just because she's Madonna, she gets away with that. And you know what? You know what I learned about Madonna? Thinks Madonna's it. Madonna thinks Madonna's the thing. And you know what I saw in that moment? A very ugly person inside. And you know, I'm just like, okay, that's who you are. You just revealed yourself for being really dark and ugly. I mean, that's an ugly heart.
And that's the thing. And I was telling, I don't know who it was on the phone, but I was telling them, you know, I don't even want to say anything to any of my friends that are Democrats. I mean, when Trump won, it was just the funniest thing I've ever seen. I mean, they were all crying. We had the Women's March, and they were all doing the Women's March.
It was great. It was awesome. The whole thing was great.
It was awesome.
I enjoyed every minute of it. I think my favorite was Ashley Judd. Did you hear Ashley Judd that day?
She was disgusting. It was awful. I mean, it was just embarrassing. And they don't represent me. And I am an educated woman, and I do make my own choices. And it's very disappointing. I mean, I had friends come up to me in my son's daycare saying, you know, did you hear the news? I'm like, yeah, I voted for Donald Trump. And they're like, why would you do that? I'm like, because he's a smart businessman, and that's what we need to make this country great again. And then I saw them again at, you know, a birthday party, and they were at the Women's March. And I swear to God, I was just the worst person in that whole party.
Wow.
But I didn't care. I didn't care because, you know what? I knew that Donald Trump was speaking for me. And if they don't believe what he's doing and all the good things he's doing for this country, they really have their blinders on. And, you know, if we would have behaved like this during Obama years, it would have been bad. I mean, I met Bill Nelson in a parking garage going to church. Can you imagine if I would have accosted him because I didn't like that he voted for health care? I mean, it would have been blasphemy. I would have been in so much trouble. And and we need to be, as Republicans, we need to stand, or, you know, just period, as Americans, need to stand strong and believe that we need this country great again, just like Donald Trump is saying, and keep doing what we're doing and keep the fight. But it is scary. I don't want to say anything to any of my, you know, Democratic friends, because I just can't withstand their vile talk. And they don't let me in. They don't let me say anything.
Let me tell you something. There are people I know, especially in New York, that love Donald Trump, and they just don't even bother saying it. That's why I say that Donald Trump underpolls 5 to 7 points at least. And that's why they're never going to figure him out, because they're, you know, the media lives in a bubble, and the media, they talk to each other, and the media tries to out hate Trump and out feign outrage, if you will, over Trump. And it's just not going to work. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. And by the way, great call, Christina, and great points. I'm not going to lie. I loved Ashley Judd and Madonna and these lunatics now, except that it's getting dangerous. I don't like that part. Losing it.
And to our detractors that insist that this march will never add up to anything, F*** you. But this is the hallmark of revolution. Yes, I'm angry. Yes, I am outraged. Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House. I am a nasty woman. I'm nasty, like my blood stains on my bed sheets. We don't actually choose if and when to have our periods. Believe me, if we could, some of us would. We don't like throwing away our favorite pairs of underpants. Tell me, why are tampons and pads still taxed when Viagra and Rogaine are not? Is your erection really more than protecting the sacred, messy part of my womanhood? Is the blood stain on my jeans more embarrassing than the thinning of your hair?
Wow. I'm glad
I never get sick of that. I tell you, man, what
I'm
a lady.
I'm so glad I got
classy ladies over there. Nothing like talking about the bloodstains on your sheets, right? That's a real lady right there.
That's
class act.
A class act. I have so many thoughts.
And clearly, I mean, Madonna, of all people, to pontificate over, you know, why we should, you
Can
know,
I
the
ask
Hallmark
you a question?
I'm revolution.
Not an ex- why is her she looks like a different person now. She doesn't even look like Madonna anymore. Something happened.
Well, you know, she took lessons to have a British accent, and then she had more facelifts done than Joan Rivers.
Is that what it is?
Oh, yeah. Got a lot of
How
work.
How do you know that? How do you know?
Because I'm a woman. It's and my revolution to recognize her face work.
What if you're wrong? What if that didn't happen?
I'm definitely not wrong.
I'm betting you're wrong.
I bet all the women in your audience right now are in their cars going, mm-hmm, that's right. She had some bad work done. It's not good.
I just have no idea where the time goes. Let not your hearts be troubled. We've got an amazing show tonight. Travel ban lifted. Boom. Where are you never Trumpers tonight? You know, because you didn't even think the Supreme Court mattered. It mattered today. We'll get to all of that. Also, liberal hate, liberals unhinged. We've got the latest montages and a history of liberal hate. Also tonight, well, we've got more deep state news. Here's a hint. This is now going to be bigger than what we told you it was going to be in January. See you tonight at 9. We'll be back here tomorrow. Thank you, as always, for being with us.